Actually, we'll be interviewing as a team.
We're here to fuck shit up.
Bring me out. Can you introduce me as
Jake
Stewart?
And I'm Matt.
And this is the Nuclear Fridge.
It's completely insane. You guys are idiots.
Do you have nuclear weapons?
In the fridge.
Is that nuclear waste?
This whole fridge is a joke.
Honey, you are a regular nuclear meltdown.
You and I are not so different.
Stupid fridge guys.
Well, to each his own.
Go to school, boys.
Oh, man. Oh, Jay's back in the Jehovah Jay is back in the building.
What's
Jay
going on, guys?
Krieger. How's it going, bud?
It feels wrong not doing a proper intro.
I don't think it feels wrong at all. I think it feels good. I think it lets off the stress of having to act somewhat prepared, which we're never prepared, so.
But it was like the one thing we were prepared with.
No, it was, I mean, it was one thing I was prepared with. Neither of you have ever helped me with it.
Excuse me, I've done it a few times.
You've done it, but that's not helping.
Always a good time.
So welcome to the nuclear fridge. Yeah.
Jay, it's been a while. It has been fucking months. Months and months and months.
We almost had him for the Christmas episode.
And then you had to do work.
And then I had to be a buzzkill and work and hold down a job, unfortunately.
Yeah, man. That was really uncool of you.
Being an adult, how dare you?
Yeah, but we missed you. We missed you. It was a chaotic Christmas movie draft where Stuart attacked me out of nowhere by stealing some of the movies that I wanted to watch. So, you know what we got to do? We got to do is to retaliate. And so I retaliated.
It was unkind.
No, I took Batman from him. I did the most Stuart thing and chose Batman for both of my first two rounds. But to tell you the truth, I only picked Batman the second round because you picked the holdovers. And the only reason you picked the holdovers was because I chose Batman. So you really did it to yourself.
It's actually not true.
Well, I mean, you like the holdovers a lot.
I love the holdovers.
Did you see the holdovers, Jay? I know you're a horror guy, so you may not have time to stroll over into the rest of the genre work, but did you see it?
I did.
You watched plenty, dude.
I made some time for it over the holidays and really enjoyed it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kind of a bummer that was one of those films that was like such a standout of the year and then naturally had like a fairly limited release. And then it got dumped over on Peacock, I think, which... The only reason I have that is because, you know, I was bumming a password off of somebody else. But yeah,
and the only reason you were bumming that password is because of the Halloween movies.
True.
Yeah. Because that's where they belong. Those new Halloween movies.
As if I don't already own them on Blu-ray. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Speaking of Halloween, I just completed the 4K collection of every Halloween movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they released that the first time they brought it back with H2O. They released that one, 6, and then the one that came after H2O, Resurrection, the one with Busta Rhymes.
Oh, yeah. I think I only saw the one time.
I paid $150 for that collection. I had to have it.
Oh, my sweet.
Oh, good Lord. I have them all on DVD from a yard sale, so...
Oh man, so you're the smart one.
I
should have been looking at yard sales.
I have the Blu-rays and I have the 4Ks for 1 and 2. And 3, excuse me. I got 1 through 3 on 4K. I was holding off because I've been waiting for them to hopefully get a little lower in price at some point.
Yeah, I feel like right at the beginning of the pandemic, it was really easy to get like a lot of 4K Blu-rays at a really good price. And then since then, it's just raised and raised and raised in price. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Some of those collections that they have now are, you know, as gorgeous as they look. And it's nice to, you know, not have to worry about waking up one morning and having like the digital code or whatever for a movie just kind of disappear from your catalog. But at the same time, like they're getting up there.
Dude, and the fucking crazy thing is, what?
No, I'll say it after you're done.
Okay, well, what I was going to say was that, like, Paramount Plus took down all the Star Trek movies. And it's
really?
like, What the fuck? That is like, why did they do this? Like, why do these companies that own these properties, like, they're I think Disney removed stuff that was like, you just own this. Why are you removing it? Like, are you taking it away? It's not like you have to license it.
I'll give Disney more credit than Paramount with that, just because for the most part, Disney keeps a good chunk of their library always there.
Yeah, but like they take away the new Willow show, and it's like you own that. Like,
yeah, that's a weird, yeah, that type.
That was
of
a reason
weird.
People signed up for your service. Like, it just seems fucking bizarre that they would like, yeah, you can't access this thing we own that doesn't cost us anything
ever
to keep
again.
Up. Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. So I'm sick and tired of this fucking streaming bullshit, dude.
Yeah, HBO has probably been the most egregious, where they, you know. People subscribe obviously to HBO to be able to have their extensive back catalog, and then they kind of remove this stuff like Watchmen, what was it, Weird Country or something like that, or Lovecraft Country.
What the fuck, dude?
There was one other big one that they removed.
Well, there might be another reason they removed Lovecraft Country.
I didn't hate it, but I mean, just in general, like, what has been the trend, I think, is that they're taking the rights and they're lending them out to like Tubi and stuff, because that must be more profitable, I guess, in some way for them than just having it on their own servers. But I don't know.
I have noticed as with some of their catalog that a lot of them are popping up on Prime and Netflix, which that makes sense if they're like, okay, well, maybe they'll pay for them and then we can just take them off ours.
Yeah.
Which sucks still.
That's why I own all the Halloween movies, because you never know when I need to watch any one of those terrible movies that I just happen to love.
Hey, there's good shit.
You gotta
in there,
see Buster Rhymes duke it out with Michael Myers once in a while.
Yeah, trick or treat, motherfucker. Like,
I actually purchased my final movie at Best Buy the other day. And
they're getting rid of movies, right?
Yeah. And it ended up being a terrible experience. Well, it wasn't a terrible experience, but it wasn't a great experience. And then I remembered why I didn't. Other than some steel books ever buy from Best Buy. But I physically went to Best Buy, and they had one shelving unit left with the movies they had remaining. And then there was like one little side stand with, I think it had like Fast and the Furious 10 or something pictured on
Good
it.
Lord.
Something like that. And that, so I'm sitting there going, you know what? I'll buy one movie as like just a goodbye, because I've got some cool shit from Best Buy movie wise. I know they're not going out of business. It's just, you know, whatever. But so I go through the shelves.
Killing our passion.
I go through the shelves and I find Bride of Chucky. And it says it's on sale for $17.99. And I was like, in the 4K, I was like, oh, that's my choice. That's my pick right there. So I grab it. I go to the front, ecstatic that I'm going to have a movie that I'm a big fan of. I go to the counter, and the gentleman rings me up and says, $32.45. And I said, wait, because on your for sale, your for sale thing, it said it was $17.99. And he said, oh, that sale ended last week.
Dude, fuck that.
And I was sitting there just dumbfounded, like, do I just say never mind and be kind of a dick? Or do I just eat it and just I own it, I guess? And
I would have just said, hey, man, you're still advertising the sale.
I said that to him and he was like, yeah. And he even was like, yeah, it's kind of shitty, but whatever. And I was like,
whatever, fuck you.
But the thing was, it really was just like a graveyard of movies, which was kind of depressing to see. But at the same time, I was just like, I mean, I don't know. My thought is like, well, these are just, you're just going to be getting rid of them soon. Is that such a big deal for? I don't know. I was just frustrated.
I thought the punchline of your experience was going to be you spent 20 minutes looking for an employee. Because anytime I've ever had to go to Best Buy, which has been very rare in the last, I don't know, 10 years, there's never anybody working there. There's somebody manning the front door, and that's about it to check your receipt.
So to back you on that, there was no employees walking around. There were some people in the front, a security guard, and then the guy that I went up to cash out. And Yeah, and he was super casual. He was just like, oh, yeah, that ended last week. And I was like, oh, well, fuck me, I guess. And so I bought Bride of Chucky for $32, a little over $32. Dude. And I was like, it didn't feel good. But, hey, it was my last purchase of a movie at Best Buy.
Dude, when I was in Target in Hawaii, because that's what you do when you go to Hawaii, you go to Target. They had this sign that said, buy two, get one free Nintendo Switch game. So I was like, oh, fuck. Hey, Denny, who's my brother, I'm like, is there any game you want here? Because there are two games that I want, and then we can get a free one. And he's like, all right, yeah, I'll get this one. And I was like, okay, I'll get this one. So we were like, Pokemon Snap, another Pokemon game, and then I think like Zelda. And we came up and said, hey, can we get these three games? We want to do this buy two, get one free deal. He's like, oh, no, though, those games aren't eligible for that. And I said, okay, well, which games are eligible?
All the shitty
ones.
And
he's like, yeah, all the ones that were there. And it was like Grandpa's Spaghetti Adventure, Ducks the Game, Party Classics, like all this just like shit I'd never fucking heard of. And that was, and they were all like $20 each. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is there this giant sign in your store if those are the games you're offering for this promo?
They have to get rid of them somehow.
It's fucking insane.
You wonder,
I hate
how it's
it. There's some Goosebumps game.
What?
You wonder how it's profitable to make some games game. Like that.
But is it the old Goosebumps or the new Goosebumps?
I don't know. I got to look this up. But yeah, I agree with you, Jay. I don't even understand how those things make money.
Yeah.
Like,
well, these buy one, get one free deals. How can you not buy one?
Goosebumps game Switch. Goosebumps the game, in fact.
I'm assuming it's either the new show or the new movies. Like, I didn't see the second one. I saw the first one.
Well, it's made by Game Mill, so you know it's good.
are those the Walking Dead people?
No, I think they're just like a mobile developer that just like makes fucking...
Who's
just,
this?
A fuck ton of licensed shit.
Who's
I was
going to
say,
that
sounds like a studio that just churns out bullshit every other quarter.
They made the Kong game that everyone loved. They made Nerf Legends.
Oh, wait. Isn't that they did that Walking Dead Destinies.
Yeah. I guess they did the...
They did the Kong game. That's the only reason
They made the Kong game and they made the Zombieland game. And Walking Dead Destinies, you're right. Just fucking nothing but quality. Good Lord.
Well, that was our episode, folks.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Jay's here. We want to hear about what Jay has been up to, what he's got going on, and maybe a little nice treat for all the Nuclear Fridge fans who just can't get enough of Stuart. You know what? If you love Stuart's overlong outros and you're like, man, let Stuart talk for another 10 minutes, have we got a treat for you? Jay, take it away.
That is the most dickish intro I have ever heard.
No, listen. I love.
Nope.
No. Let me finish.
Damage done.
I love both of these guys. I'm doing this one for Jay. I love both of you guys so much. I always want Jay on the podcast. I one of my favorite people in the world, Stuart Gears. I love talking to him about movies on end. There's a part of me that wishes we didn't have this podcast so that we could just talk about movies all the time and not have to save content, you know what I mean? But they've got a really awesome project coming up, and I honestly couldn't be more excited about it.
Well, it's very nice of you, man. Thank you, Stuart. Do you want me to
absolutely
talk about what we've been working on, or did you want to?
No, I'll let you. No, man, I'll let you. All right,
well,
your magic.
Thank you, Matt, for that lovely intro for this. But yeah, you know, getting to come on Nuclear Fridge several times now over the last few years and getting to know you guys has been really great. And, you know, Stuart is somebody that very quickly it became apparent that, you know, he was somebody that anytime I like would shoot him a message or text him about a movie that was a little bit off the beaten path, chances are he'd seen it or he was at least open to kind of diving into it, if anything. You know, becoming friends with Stuart has kind of saved my family and friends in my personal life from having to hear me rant and rave about just random fucking movies that, you know, after you get through the synopsis of something and their eyes start to glaze over. And that was never the case with Stuart. So I reached out to Stuart and I asked him if he was interested in doing a movie podcast. that we decided was going to be called Genre Haze, which is going to be debuting on February 9th of next month. And that's going to be dropping every Friday. And Stuart and myself are going to be chatting about both favorite films of ours, as well as first-time watches of various genre films. You know, I'm usually on here chatting about horror, but at the same time, you know, I have a great love for action movies, martial arts, you know, dramas even, and all sorts of different types of film. And, you know, when I was doing Daily Horror Habit, kind of put myself into a little bit of a corner there, only chatting about horror. And, you know, I watch plenty of films, you know, stuff like The Holdovers, right? Which most people probably wouldn't assume that I was watching just because I can't stop talking about horror. But yeah, we're really excited to kind of not only chat about movies that we love, which is, you know, pretty easy to do, but at the same time, using the show as an excuse to maybe tackle that watch backlog, you know, that we have. Because I think if you're anything like me and, you know, you have a Letterboxd account and whatnot, that can grow pretty quickly into like the hundreds of movies that you want to watch. And sometimes it's impossible to, you know, decide what you want to prioritize. So part of the show is like using it as an excuse to kind of dive into that back catalog, but more importantly, getting to chat with Stuart every week about movies, but also us inevitably having guests on, such as yourself, Matt, to chat about whether or not you want to chat about your favorite film or first time watch that you want a reason to watch. It's the type of thing where it's like, we're just looking forward to chatting about genre movies and having conversations with, you know, our friends and maybe, you know, other people out there that are podcasters and whatnot that are just looking for an excuse to chat about movies.
Yeah, and I'm super excited to listen to you guys. I'm very excited to guest on it. I know you guys have been working on this for a very long time. And I can't wait. I think we've discussed a movie or two we'd like to talk about. I don't know if we want to tease my guest episode or not, but I've been dying to talk about it.
I feel like most people who have listened to this know what movie you are going to pick, Matt.
If not a Halloween movie.
If you want to know what it is, that's cool.
I think everyone loves the movie, but I think most people could guess.
Before you say you say what movie it is, Stuart, did you want to add anything? I guess I should add quick. It's going to be available on all podcast platforms. We have a trailer up right now. And if people are on Twitter, they can follow at Genre's Pod for updates on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to talk with Jay about movies. He tolerates my ranting. At times even throws the rants back. So it was a good combo to start something. And when he reached out to me, I mean, at first, my first thought was no one wants to hear me on another fucking podcast. you all know.
Not true.
I just thought it was cool. And it did give me kind of an, like Jay said, an excuse to go into some things either that I've wanted to watch but haven't, or movies that I've wanted to talk about and haven't gone into the depths I would like. And we found so far we're getting better about keeping the conversations lower than I think some would expect. You know, it's not going to be like 3 hours of horror movie, but you know, I mean, I even though that was fun for me, but yeah, I look forward to doing it. I mean, Jay is awesome at it already and has already had some, you know, great podcast. So I'm just honored to be a part of one.
Nice. Well, you know, one of my favorite things, I can speak for Jake too, because we talk about it, is when Stuart guests on a podcast. I believe, didn't you guest on a podcast that wasn't hosted by Jay too recently?
I haven't. No.
Has it all been Jay?
I've been on, I think they've all been for Daily Horror Habit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident because I did Nope. I did the Nope episode with Jay. Oh. And then
it was the end of the year thing. Yeah, I think last year.
Yes. Yes.
Did you do it again this year?
We did not.
No, because I put Daily Horror Habit on an indefinite hiatus between the other podcasts and work and stuff. And again, I wanted to kind of break out of that box that I put myself in with just being a horror podcast. And now we get to chat about everything. And, you know, chances are every other week will probably be horror, but it's nice to have that option to kind of just dive into whatever we're kind of feeling in a given week, or, you know, something pops up on a streaming service. Oh, shit, I've been meaning to watch that. And there you go. That's going to be next week's episode type of thing.
Hey, nothing says that we can't do an end of the year horror episode.
Oh, for sure.
And even have you there, Maddie. There's nothing stopping that.
Well, what's it called? What I was saying was that, like, Jake and I have been, like, I think one of our favorite things about doing this podcast is seeing you guest on other podcasts. And
well, I appreciate that, Matt.
So we're stoked for you and your podcast celebrity. And we cannot wait for this show to start.
I'll just say thanks instead of going the self-deprecation route.
You're welcome. I'm being serious.
I appreciate it greatly. I think it's one of those things where I have always seen, I guess, going into longer length and detail with movies being something that people check out on. But, you know, Jay was one of those people that definitely switched me around a bit on that. And I know, you know, for like Nuclear Fridge, we're also, you know, kind of talking about whatever, shooting the shit and all that. So it's not like, you know, most listeners are going to want to hear me rant about fucking, you know, the same movie for most of the episode, unless it's like a review episode of something.
Well,
like,
yeah,
Killers of the Flower Moon, or, you know,
I think people want to fucking hear about movies from you, so don't worry about it. This isn't turning into a therapy episode, but don't worry about it.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, Matt. I am definitely looking forward to your episode, because your movie is also a movie that I would love to talk in detail about.
Oh man. Yeah, you haven't read the book either.
I still haven't read the book. No, no.
Okay. By the way, I don't think
I feel like most people who have listened up to this point would be able to guess it.
But. Yeah, the movie's Heat. Yeah, we're definitely. I mean, it's a movie that Jay and I have bonded over, so it felt it felt fitting. Well, it's Heat, and it's the Psycho series that we've bonded over.
Yeah.
God, the Psycho series. I have that. I think that's like my favorite thing I own right now, is the 4K box set of all four movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were telling me about that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that
Second
Sight?
Yeah. No. It was Arrow.
Arrow. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Second Sight might have done their own thing, but Arrow's the one I got. Yeah, I love those Psycho movies, man. And I regret not being like, no, Jay, you need me on every Psycho episode.
That's definitely underrated, I guess, quadrilogy, right?
Yeah, like, dude, it's like a series that people don't even realize is a series for the most part.
Yeah, so each film kind of diving and leaning into a different aspect of the horror subgenres that were in the first film was just really something cool to kind of not only experience for the first time, but then, of course, Matt, getting to chat with you and getting to chat with a few of my other guests to tackle those movies and just get people's perspective on them and, you know, why a certain sequel is a standout to them, right? I mean, everybody wants to chat about the first film, but I was even more interested to see what people thought of these sequels that, while they're not as heavily regarded as the original, obviously, it's just cool to kind of experience these films. Not going to say every single one always nails what they go for, but they're more interesting, and I think they're more entertaining than you would anticipate, you know, a sequel to one of the best horror films ever made.
Yeah, and I mean, talking with you about them kind of made me realize that, like, oh man, I think, like, the original isn't even my favorite one. I think we both came to the conclusion that 2 is our favorite.
Yeah. Which was what I love about that episode, because you get to have that kind of realization almost in real time, because it's like, I liked that movie when I was watching it, but then, of course, through the process, getting to chat with you about it, get to highlight, you know, certain elements that either I already thought were great about that, or, you know, you kind of had a reading on something that made me look at it in a new light, which then kind of just like propelled that to the top of my list for the Psycho series.
Yeah, and I mean, God, Mary being a super sympathetic character, likable person, who, you know, ends up really liking Norman.
Yeah,
really elevates that film. Meg Tilly, who like, I remember right before we did that podcast, like maybe a day, I remember looking up Jennifer Tilly and being like, wait, where's Psycho 2 in her filmography? And that made me realize, oh, they're sisters. And for my entire life, whenever I saw Meg Tilly, I just read it as Jennifer Tilly, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, I'm so stoked to talk movies with you guys. Whenever you let me on, super stoked to listen to you guys talk about movies. I need something new to listen to while I walk Cooper.
Yeah, our first.
Sorry, you go.
I was just gonna say,
you're good, man.
Our first episode is gonna be all about our favorite movies of 2023. So that episode will be out on February 9th. Yeah.
Nice.
Already,
I'm excited to hear that.
Fucking mess.
What?
My list was a mess.
I think everyone's, I mean, like, lovingly, I think everyone's, you know, ready for that from you.
Yeah, probably. But it was just really funny when we were recording it, because it got to like to the last minute and I was like looking at my list and I messaged Jay and I was like, dude, this is the, I don't think I could do this. And he was like, no, we'll be fine.
It was like every other hour while I was at work that day, I was just kind of like tweaking my list slowly and surely, and then Stuart outdid me while I was like talking about my number like 5 or 6 entry. He's just like, can hear him kind of muttering to himself like, oh, I gotta fucking put this here, put that there, and just like in real time still editing his list. And I was like,
that's incredible.
I love you, man. It's not that serious, it's okay.
Stuart takes things seriously.
I know,
that's something
I
we love about him.
I know, I take the list, I, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, got to be definitive. But you know what, I'm gonna relax over time.
Hell yeah.
And just go with the flow, and that includes even here on the Nuclear Fridge. I know I can, you know, I could be a little too serious sometimes.
Yeah, it's fine. It's what we love about you. I mean, I'm sure it seeped into the episode. I guarantee fucking it seeped into the episode. But the Christopher Nolan episode we did, That was like a half hour of pulling teeth before we started, because Stuart was like, I'm not going to say anything rude about Christopher Nolan. We're like, no.
I didn't say that.
No, you did. You said
no,
that.
No, I
like,
said I don't know if I could do the
list. Not including a movie in your top five is like the biggest insult. It's like, no, but they're five. You're
no,
choosing your favorite
saying
five. And he's like, no, but not including the 6 to 10 is an insult. Like, you were,
no, I
you
just,
were really,
I was just,
you
like,
love cinema.
I
and you
mean,
don't want
I
to
do
hurt anyone's feelings.
I do, but it was also just, I mean, kind of similar to doing that episode with Jay. I was just like, I don't know 100% which would be my top, because it could change just on like a day of thinking about it and being like, yeah, you know what, I guess I do prefer that. But that's, you know, that's film in general.
It's film, it's art.
It is.
That's the beauty of life.
This is true.
I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about, I don't know a better way to put it than like problematic art, I guess. And I think there is this hesitance in a lot of people these days to enjoy art that makes them feel uncomfortable. But to me, I feel like, so this is a quote that I thought William Peter Blatty said. I've not been able to find him saying it, and I have not been able to find a source for it otherwise. So,
okay.
I'm 99.9% sure I did not come up with it and then attribute it to someone. I guarantee you I did not. But basically the gist of it is that a movie isn't supposed to make you feel good or bad. A truly great movie makes you feel alive. And I feel like that is the case with a lot of movies, like Poor Things, which, like, a lot of, there's a lot of in that movie that is supposed to make you like uncomfortable and not know what to think. And I think that is a beautiful thing, because you're confronted with something that challenges you and makes you go, oh, how is this character doing in this scenario? And you kind of go on a journey with Bella from Poor Things as they come to terms with the world and end up falling in love with the world that I feel so many people have a hard time with, you know. And I don't mean to go after cancel culture or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just, you know, I think there's a lot in this world to love. And I think all of the bad and all of the uncomfortableness and all of the just grimy guck makes the world what it is and why it's worth loving.
I mean, some of the best movies I've ever seen are movies that deeply disturbed me in a way. But yeah, they were done in a way that was very meaningful, or they had something to say. And so it's, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's going to be some movies that are going to make you feel bad, and there's some that can make you feel good. But I think ultimately, as long as, I mean, if they're making you feel something, that means it's doing its job to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that recently, Stuart and I, just talking about
on?
You know,
On
Genre Haze, which debuts
Genre Haze
February 9th. Thanks for the plug.
Hell yeah.
But no, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it plenty of times previously, you know, when primarily when talking about horror movies, right? The type of thing where it's like, yeah, extreme horror movies work for us primarily. And Stuart, you'll correct me if I'm speaking out of school, but like,
no,
those movies typically work for us when, you know, it, even if it's something that is completely absurd, like the Terrifier series, right? And I think Terrifier 2 is one of those movies that is just wall-to-wall gratuitous violence, and there's not much outside of the violence itself being the star of the show, but like, it's so comical because of how aggressive it is. But at the same time, like, there is a level of craft there that sells it in a way that, like, for people that enjoy slashers and things like that, it's like, oh wow, this is kind of like reminding people that you can always smash through the ceiling of what you think film is capable of. But then, you know, we've also mentioned that there are certain films like a Serbian film, which is probably the most extreme thing that you can get away with in a movie in terms of some of the content in that.
Definitely not my thing.
Exactly. But that's the thing, is that it's like, it's not in service of anything. And it's just kind of disgusting for the sake of being disgusting. And there's not really the level of craft, or, I mean, with that film specifically, it's more sort of their blending of violence and sex and things like that, which does not work for us. But, you know, in talking about a film like, you know, Martyrs or something like that, which is another film that's very aggressive. At the same time, though, you know, that's a director making a commentary on like culture and society in France, because they're French filmmakers. So it's, you know, it's not always just viewing a film as being like, oh, it's just doing it because it can. It's sometimes, you know, they either have something to say behind it, or at the same time, it could just be like the level of craftsmanship in making that kind of come to fruition. And we even talked about a couple of movies in our best of the year for 2023. There was like, these are really fucking uncomfortable movies, but that is a positive quality sometimes in a film, something that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you go, oh, this is really gross. Like, I don't want anybody to walk in while watching this, but there's a greater purpose behind that than just like, yeah, I'm just going to make you feel yucky for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Oh my God. This last, man, I always think about that, man. Going back to like high school days being at home is like, mm-hmm. I swear, just the universe is just like, if you're watching some movie that has some fucked up shit in it, that's exactly when someone's coming into your room.
Yeah.
That's just how it is, unfortunately. I mean, now it's more just you get a stare of like, what the fuck are you watching? But yeah, it's not so bad once you're an adult, but it's still, yeah. I mean, there's going to be those movies that are always going to, I think some people, which is, we also touched on, is just, they won't think at a movie that has maybe a questionable scene or something in it, and won't look for any deeper meaning or value as far as if there's anything going on with characters or anything like that. I mean, I'm not talking about like, you know, a movie like say, I don't know, like the Evil Dead remake or a lot of exploitation, like throwback slasher films. Like, I mean, you're there to watch ridiculous over the top antics for the most part, right? You're not sitting there thinking you're going to get some huge emotional story. But, you know, sometimes there are these really well-done movies that have great stories that happen to have some scenes that may just be a little messed up, to say it lightly. But, No, that's the great thing about movies. You can be disturbed by them. You can laugh at them. You can be thrilled by them. So many things.
Yeah, I mean, who the fuck wants to go into a movie and just know exactly what you're going to get every single time, right? It's like, I would have stopped watching movies, I don't know, 20 years ago if they were all exactly the same, or they never sort of challenged you, whether that is, you know, what their messaging is, or just, again, like the expectation of what film can get away with, right? I'm always a fan of, like, once in a while, come across a film, like last year when Evil Lurks, right, was my favorite horror film of the year, spoiler for that episode. But like, we go into detail talking more about, you know, why that is such a great film, because of the fact that it's able to push those boundaries in some pretty shocking and savage ways. And it doesn't end up just being, yeah, you know, it's fucked up shit for 2 hours or whatever. It's like, no, there's more to it than that. And so that's just one of those films where it's like, yeah, man, you think you know what film is sort of capable of, what it could tap out on, but you really don't know shit, because there'll always be a director that comes along and kind of just reminds you that they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, I mean, even to Matt's point with, like, Poor Things, I think culturally, maybe for the people who are a bit more divisive on it, that, I mean, America in general is just very prudish when it comes to sex and nudity in films still.
Yeah.
Don't know why, considering everything else that comes out, but it's still pretty taboo, so I guess I can see where some people would watch something like Poor Things and maybe just be put off by it, but, you know, it doesn't take away from the merit of the film in any way for me.
I agree. Did you guys see that Gary Busey?
What about Gary Busey?
Oh, yeah, he dumped it out in traffic, didn't he?
He what?
No, what he...
Whoa. Wait,
I thought he whipped it out and was pissing in the street or something. Didn't that happen recently?
Yeah, he took a piss in public. Yeah. And then people took a picture of him. Yeah, I know. Like
the star of The Ginger Dead Man without his penis in public.
What? Yeah, the star of Quigley. Whipped out. The thing that I think is fucked up is let the dude piss, dude. He's just pissing in public. It's not the worst thing in the world.
I mean, is he like at like a? Is he in like a park?
Or there's a fire busy street, wasn't he?
I know. Yeah, that's what I mean.
There's a fire engine behind him. And his dick is just out. You can see, and it's like, oh man, he's got a piece on him. But like, why are you taking a picture of him with his penis out?
Because TMZ will pay you however much money for that image.
Yeah, I think leave the dude alone. I mean, he needed to go. When you need to go, you need to go. I wouldn't want to piss in those pants.
Did you just send the photo? I just heard the.
Oh, thank God, it was blurred.
I sent both photos. Yeah, you don't get to see it, but you can definitely tell when Gary
Busey's...
It looks
like he's pissing up on the corner of a building, Matt.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
I mean, it's not...
Homeless people pee everywhere.
It seems like behavior indicative of somebody with a lengthy, maybe drug issue, and on top of being in a horrific motorcycle accident.
Also true. That is fair. I mean, look, if I was there and there weren't anyone else around and he was just like going, I mean, I probably wouldn't disturb the guy, but I mean, if you're like a busy street or something like that and you're fucking, like, let's be real. Gary Busey is Gary Busey. He is indistinguishable. Like, I don't know.
My favorite detail is he sees the camera in the first one and then just smiles, and then the second one he's fucking laughing as he walks away.
I know.
Yeah, dude. Like, well, because I'm with Gary. I stand with Gary on this. Just don't take pictures of people pissing. I don't care where you are.
I mean, I agree with you on that. It's just
let the dude piss.
I don't know why I said indistinguishable when it's.
Listen,
yeah, take that out. But
I feel like there should be a rule of the law. As long as you're not near kids, as long as you're not near. I think kids is the most important one.
Is that a fire truck next to him in the background?
Yeah, that's what I said. A fire engine right behind him. So he must be somewhere like public, like very public.
I mean, I wouldn't
like a city street. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like a city street. Listen, I'm not saying go do this, but I'm saying maybe don't take pictures of a dude.
when you're, I mean, if you're a celebrity though, like him, that, you know, obviously paparazzi don't give a fuck. They just want a payday. You know, like for them, they probably were like, holy fuck, is that Gary Busey pissing on the sidewalk? Like, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty gross.
I mean, the
paparazzi taking his photo is gross. I stand with Gary. I'm not saying go do this.
I stand with Gary.
But this is what he says. This is what the headline. Gary Busey pulls pants down, exposes penis to urinate in public. That's kind of what you have to do to urinate in public, is bring out your dick.
Well, he could piss in his pants.
That is true. I guess that,
if it was like an emergency sort of thing that he can't help it. But then at the same time, does he want to be covered in piss?
I think the second photo also shows some dribble. But that might just be shadow.
I wasn't looking in detail.
But this also, this comes, man, how long ago was this? Back in September, Gary Busey was accused of a hit and run. This is from TMZ.com. This is probably one of the funniest videos in the world. It is, I'll just send you guys a news story so you can watch it at your leisure. But basically, Gary Busey, we don't see the accident in the video. And Gary was never punished for this, which is so fucking funny. Because this video is literally a woman chasing him down on the highway and being like, you hit my car, you can't do that. And then you see Gary Busey just like, I swear to God, he's laughing maniacally on the highway as this woman tries to like pull him over. And then he just like completely ignores her and does nothing. He's basically like just saying nonsense that you'd expect Gary Busey to say. And then just playing fucking Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys at like high volume. He's just literally driving away from this woman. It is the funniest video I've ever seen in my life.
It's just what a fucking mess.
I gotta say, big ups to Gary Busey.
I don't know if this is something I'd commend, Matt. I'm not commending him. I'm just thanking him for this entertainment. I mean, I understand the guy's had some trauma to the head, so you know, I get that maybe he's not as there, so maybe he was just like, I really gotta pee, and he peed. You know, he's an older gentleman, I guess, if we want to go into excuses. But, I mean, if I was walking and I just saw Gary Busey pissing, I would definitely still be like, what the fuck, dude?
I'd be like, oh, shit.
That's Gary Busey. Wait, I'd be like, what the fuck? And then I look closer, like, that's Gary Busey.
He's pissing. All right, let me leave him alone. Because guess what? When people piss, you should leave him alone.
Yeah, but also don't be dumping your dumb dick out in public like that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's true. Make sure there are no kids around.
Yeah, please.
Well, we don't, but from these two photos, there could definitely have been kids around that we don't see.
There might have been. We can't say one way or the other.
There was at least some firefighters somewhere.
There was a paparazzi there, conveniently, to take a picture.
What if the paparazzi was a child?
Then that's fucking, you know what, big ups to that paparazzi for being a go-getter.
What is the legality of taking a picture with somebody that has their dick out?
So I mean, know you can take pictures of anything that you can see from a public space.
If he was like in a private residence or like in his home or something, he could go after him. But I mean, he's pissing on a fucking sidewalk. Like, fair. Some intersection.
Yeah, I bet there's nothing illegal about taking a picture of that. I bet there's something illegal about like then posting it somewhere.
Posting it all over the internet for posterity's sake.
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
they censor it, so I'm sure that saves them, but yeah.
It's just, wow, we took a turn here.
So that was 10 minutes on Busey's dick.
Yeah.
I'll
say this on a positive note. I'm happy to hear he's alive, you know?
And doing well enough to pee in public.
I mean, he's happy as a lark in the photos. Yeah. You said?
Yeah, he seems so happy. He seems happy in a weird way.
But don't urinate in public if you don't have to.
Good life advice.
I think that is definitely true. If you don't have to.
He's like a scarf, like this, like Technicolor coat, a purple hoodie, and sweatpants. Like,
let me put you in his shoes. Okay. You're wearing a scarf and a Technicolor coat.
Yeah.
You are desperately in need of pissing.
Yeah.
What do you do? You're wearing sweatpants too, so it's gonna suck if you. It's not jeans. It's not denim. What do you do?
What do you do?
I would probably not choose that specific spot in public. I'd probably go like behind a building, like an alleyway or something.
I feel like there is rarely a circumstance where there isn't some sort of bathroom you can go to. I mean, I'm going to be real.
People are stingy when it comes to the bathroom
sometimes,
these days.
But you know what? I've been in situations where I've been places where, like, to use the restroom, you need to, like, get a drink or something. And I've just been like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll get a drink. I don't care.
I once went to a restroom.
I'd rather do that
than
piss on the sidewalk.
I'm in desperate need of using the bathroom. Can you please let me use your bathroom and I'll buy a drink? And they said no. And they kicked me out. At that point,
What if you bought a drink first and then you were like, I guess I gotta go.
They said they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't allow me just to buy a drink.
That's lost money on their part.
But also fucked up. They're like stopping me from relieving myself of a situation that's going to turn bad, especially since across the street there was a building where I had to meet people and say hi and not have piss in my pants.
I mean, yeah, I've definitely... I don't think
it got
I've
to the point where I had to lie about who I was to the establishment of a club so that I could get in and pee and then leave.
I'm the owner's son. I got to piss.
I said, hey, the person hosting your event, I'm their assistant and I need to get to them. And they said, okay. And I went and pissed and I got out. So maybe, okay. Maybe Gary Busey should have lied about who he was and said, hey, I'm the manager of this restaurant. I need to pee right now.
I'm actually Gary Oldman in disguise.
Yeah, something like that. I would let Gary Busey pee in any of my establishments.
Oh, thank God you continued with that. I thought you just let him pee on you.
No, I would not let him pee on me. Oh, my God.
Nobody likes Predator 2 that much.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God. Definitely not. Good Lord.
The Predator 2's got some fun shit, but nothing that warrants that I'd be like, yeah, he could piss on the side.
Yeah, underrated movie.
Oh, highly underrated, but not
fun
so
movie,
underrated
but...
that
he'd get a piss on me.
Yeah. Let me think. You know what? You know what? I don't think I'd let anyone piss on me.
That's not true.
That's fair.
Any guy piss on me.
That's exactly what I meant. Like, I was about to say, you might want to correct that. I know that's not true.
So I was like, First Reformed, pretty good movie, but not letting it happen. Not letting it happen.
I think you'd let Ethan Hawke piss on you.
No.
I think you would.
Nah.
I don't think so. You know what? I would definitely let him have a conversation with me.
What if he said that, like, we can be buddies, just I need to pee on you?
Hollywood's weird, man. I'd be like, man, Hollywood's weird.
Mister. Okay, let's do this.
It's like, I'll be accepted into your friend group. Oh, man. All right. But that'd be so weird. Then he, like, it's almost like he's marking his territory. I don't like that.
But then you're Ethan Hawke's territory.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, I don't. There's something weird about that in a friend group. Like, if I peed on you.
That's just not happening. That's a different thing.
Well, no, but like if I peed on you and marked you as my territory, but we were still friends and we hung out, would that not feel like a weird power dynamic? It would be like,
what if he let you pee on him back? I'm so sorry for this conversation, Jay.
At this point, I don't know why we're peeing on each other, and I gotta go. I gotta leave.
Yeah. The point of it is, even if you're Gary Busey, try not to pee on the sidewalk.
Try to find a back alley.
At the very least.
And also, stop taking pictures of people.
Hey,
you don't need
money.
A picture of this to prove. Like, if you just said, I saw Gary Busey pissing on a sidewalk, everyone would believe you.
I was gonna
you wouldn't
say,
need a picture.
Might be the most believable story about Gary Busey someone could relay to one another.
It might be too like tame to be believable for Gary Busey.
Pissing is pretty tame, I think, in the wheelhouse of what Busey's capable of.
Oh yes. Yeah, his hit and run is like, God, he's the man. I love Gary Busey.
I'm thinking, I mean, he's in a good amount of stuff I enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, he's fucking awesome. And he's even in on the joke a little bit, too.
He definitely is. He definitely is. I watched him when, what his, like, segments on, what was it, fucking, I mean, I guess now it's a little different bringing it up. He was on the fucking Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Was that the same year as Gene Simmons?
It could have been. It was just like funny that Gary Busey in this like boardroom, and it's like him and fucking Donald Trump and all these other random celebs. You're like, what the hell is happening in this world?
God.
Dude, yeah. But then they were like, we're going to promote when they replaced Trump with Schwarzenegger, dude. And he was like, you're terminated. In like the promos. Does anyone remember that?
Right.
Wasn't he on like Celebrity Rehab? No, because
I don't think anyone watched that.
Wait, say that again?
Oh.
Wasn't he in Celebrity Rehab or some shit like that too?
Gary Busey? Maybe. I would believe it.
Let me look it up. I watched one season of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
I did watch a good chunk of the season of Apprentice with Schwarzenegger as the head. Just because it's Schwarzenegger and who's... I mean, come on.
Let's see.
It's fucking Arnold, dude.
I just clicked on his... I just clicked on his Wikipedia page, and the last thing it says is he endorsed Donald Trump, and then when people asked him why he was very happy he won, he said he declined to comment because he doesn't like to talk about politics. Which is the most Busey thing to publicly come out in support of a candidate and be like, yeah, it's really uncomfortable to talk about.
I don't want to talk about it. Get that shit away from me.
So season one, I did not see season one. Season one has...
dude, Gilbert Gottfried was on it one season too.
Has the lead singer of Crazy Town, has Daniel Baldwin, Mary Carey, Jeff Conaway.
Okay, you guys are going to have to clue me in. What is Crazy Town? Is that just like is that a band?
Crazy Town is a band. You're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Oh!
Come my lady, come
my lady, that guy. You're my butterfly, sugar. Yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah, I love that song. Jimmy Foxworth, who was in Family Matters. China, the wrestler.
Mickey Rourke?
Bridget Nielsen, Rico Rodriguez, the UFC fighter. And then an American Idol singer.
Which one?
See, Gary Busey was season two. His addiction was recovering cocaine addict, clean and sober for 13 years, though Pinsky is Dr. Drew, questions his current use of medicinal marijuana for his asthma. He appears as a counselor to the other patients. That's so funny. He's like, yeah, I smoke weed for my asthma.
Maybe
I don't want...
It's just funny, dude. He looks like somebody. He needs to like do he if he like needs to switch to like edibles.
Yes, I would agree with you.
Don't smoke and get all the damage to your lungs. Just eat it.
Oh no, fucking the singer of Crazy Town returned for season one for season two.
Lost again.
Lost again. This guy, he's still kicking. So I hope he's doing well. I love Crazy Town. But also, oh, Rodney King was in season two.
Wait, what?
The Rodney King of the 1991 race riots in L.A.
was in The Apprentice.
Yeah. No. We're talking about Celebrity Rehab. Have you thought we were talking about The Apprentice this whole time?
That's why I was getting way more confused. I was like,
oh no, we're talking about Celebrity Rehab now.
The Apprentice isn't that old. I was like, what the fuck? Okay. That makes more sense, I suppose. Yeah, I never watched Celebrity Rehab.
Jay, Tom Sizemore was in season 3.
Oh, yeah, that tracks. He's in good company there.
Yeah. Dennis Rodman was there.
Yep.
Mackenzie Phillips. Oh man.
Did we not?
What? What were you gonna say?
No, no, nothing. Nothing.
No, no. Continue the conversation, Stuart. Don't be afraid to talk.
No, you were about to say something, and I didn't.
No, I literally wasn't about to say. That's why I'm asking you to continue. This is good. What were you gonna say, Stuart?
I was just gonna say, we did an RIP for Steve Harwell.
Steve Harwell,
the lead singer to Smash Mouth.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, we really don't do that. Remember, because we said
don't be depressing on the podcast. But at
yeah,
the same
well, we
time,
said like he, we fucking, said like, hey, like Norm MacDonald was a big one for us. But then, then every week you were like, hey, someone else died. We should. I'm like, no,
no. There's just the doing a shout out is not dedicating an episode.
Hey, yo, shout out to Steve Harwell. It's like.
Well, I mean, he was an all-star, and we all—I mean, who doesn't bounce to Smash Mouth occasionally?
Come on. No, I love Smash Mouth.
That, I'm just saying, you know, we never.
But
said
that happened anything. In September.
I know. We never said anything.
Well, you didn't bring it up either.
I know. That's why I was saying it now, because you brought up this other singer and said you were happy they were alive, and then it hit me. Oh, hey, the guy from Smash Mouth is no longer with us, and we never said anything. Not that that's like related, another than it's a singer, but you know,
right?
See, this is why I you know, I should stop talking sometimes.
Amy Fisher
never stopped talking.
Was in
Stuart.
Season 5.
Thanks, man. Amy Fisher, I know that name.
She was the one who shot. Joey Buttafuoco's wife in the face.
Oh, wasn't that the guy that lover. Like he like hooked up with the woman that shot his wife or something?
Joey Buttafuoco was
we're just gonna say alleged because I don't know all the details.
He was
to any of this.
He did serve jail for statutory rape.
Okay. That tracks with what I just said, if that's true. Yeah.
And did he also? Well, who's the one?
Maybe we shouldn't.
Who's the one who got their penis cut off?
I don't
want to
be. I don't want to be killed. Oh,
Bobbitt, Lorena Bobbitt. Okay. Bobbitt. Yeah. I always get them confused. All right, never mind.
Why have there? Why? How has there not been a Lorena Bobbitt like A24 movie?
That's a great question. I feel like it's the perfect time. I feel like.
Get me
it's
a goth.
Right on the heels of I, Tonya.
Yeah, get me a goth and just...
Let's get the movie that sympathizes with Lorena Bobbitt.
Let people understand why she took him, their husband's
and then,
manhood away.
And then there's a scene. It literally is like, she's looking at knives and then it cuts to black and then all... Oh!
Oh god. This went in such a weird direction.
Oh. What a
I don't think
a,
she was
episode,
she
guys.
Wasn't in she's still in jail, isn't she not? Or prison, isn't
it? Lorena Bobbitt? I don't know, dude. I gotta
I mean what
call,
would what
out.
That is an interesting question though, because she didn't kill him. So what would the punishment be for doing that?
Also, apparently she just like she didn't even cut off. Like everyone makes a joke that she like cut off the entire thing, but like I don't think she did.
Was it just
I think
the tip?
She like
I
think
that
I think she something like that. But they definitely reattached it successfully.
Oh.
But that's got to hurt. Like that's not probably pretty it's not good.
Like Robocock.
I think she was actually being raped by John.
Okay. We're going into territory I don't want to go
yeah.
into detail.
Anyway, yeah, we don't
want to
go. So I just want to make it clear I'm not against Lorena. I think you know what? Cutting off the penis of your abuser.
It,
pretty hardcore.
We
what
don't
do you think, Jay?
Condone abusing.
Yeah, I think everybody should be nicer to one another.
Yeah, Jay's like, oh man, I shouldn't have promoted this fucking podcast on the Nuclear Fridge.
This is the same episode We introduced genre haze. It's the same exact episode. We talked about The Apprentice and then Lorena Bobbitt and Gary Busey whipping it out in public.
Yeah. What a great episode. You know what? I'm so happy you guys could join me for this episode.
We need to give it at least 5 minutes. I'm not ending on that.
Give it 5 minutes. I mean, whenever I start to wind down an episode, you take 5 minutes to end. So
I mean, that helps a bit. I just don't want to end on, you know,
no
abuse. And
I want to end on
penis trauma.
How much I love you two guys. With Jake out, you know, it's a bummer that he's not here to celebrate your guys' new podcast. I'm sure he'll be on it as well, among many other guests that I'm excited for Stuart and you to podcast with. I absolutely can't wait. You guys have to mark your calendars. February 9th, first episode of Genre Haze.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the kind
words. Oh, yeah. I was waiting if that was supposed to be our like end of the episode and we don't say anything, or...
No. I'm letting you have a little outro here. I'm just talking about how proud I am of you guys.
Thank you, man. It's very sweet of you.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, we're excited to have you on, and definitely that invite obviously extends to Decker as well. And yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on. I always enjoy bullshitting with you guys.
And obviously, we need to have Jay more on here as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We need to pump those numbers up here. Yeah.
What? So
we got to do another draft.
Let's end. You know what? Oh yeah, we got to do another draft soon because we took a long time between the first two.
Didn't we have a plan originally that we were one day going to do like a Schwarzenegger draft?
Oh, that would be sick.
No, I think that's something you just suggested right live on the podcast.
I thought that was me, Stuart.
Maybe that's what I did. That sounds.
Stuart's just like, okay. I'm gonna just come up with an idea right now.
No, it was discussed. I guess it was me to Jay because we watched some Schwarzenegger movies. That's right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Maybe that's the one we do with Jay.
Yeah. We could do more than just a Schwarzenegger draft. We could do a bunch of drafts.
Oh yeah, of course. We're not cutting it down just to one, but I feel like at more than four people for a Schwarzenegger draft, it gets Harry, because you run out of movies pretty quick.
We could do a Mount Rushmore of action movie stars. We decide on four of the biggest guys out there for action movies, which is, you know, what, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, maybe.
Bruce Willis.
And then just have categories for different genres or something.
Well, would you put, oh man, would you put Jackie Chan in that instead of Van Damme?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We got to decide as a group, like, who the four are going to be.
I see. I'd want Eastwood. But
he's not. I don't consider him action in the same way those other guys are. Like, I think
that's Clint Eastwood has Dirty Harry
more depth,
man,
to his stuff.
I do agree with that. I do.
Or we could just have our own Rushmores, because I think there's definitely going to be overlap. Mm-hmm. Like, who's not going to have Schwarzenegger on there?
This is true.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. I feel like that would be the only one that. I mean, Sylvester Stallone is like feels like a given, but I feel like some people might not select him.
Oh, dude, I love Stallone, dude.
Yeah, I love Stallone too. Even Stallone, like, I mean,
most.
I don't think he's a pure action star like Schwarzenegger is, because Stallone can fucking act and direct and write. So like,
right.
When it comes to just being an action star, I think Arnold is like the action figure come to life.
I would agree with that. I mean, Arnold's definitely grown as an actor quite a bit as he's gotten older.
Yeah.
But no, that's fair. But that'd be a fun one to do. I'd be down with that. We can all watch that Hercules in New York movie with him.
I think he says like three words in that movie.
did I ever send you the trailer for it?
I don't think so.
I gotta send it to you because it's literally. They dub him with some just random white guy's voice for the trailer. And he's like, I'm Hercules. And then in the actual movie, it's just him occasionally being like, I'm Hercules. And then him just throwing discs at people in the park. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Someone made a good point. I just Googled action star Rushmore, and someone was like, well, if you're going to do the same thing as Mount Rushmore, you'd have to pick people of different like eras, like throughout the years, as opposed to just like the four biggest people.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll figure it out. Maybe one day
we'll figure it out on the Nuclear Fridge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know where to find us.
Jay, yeah, you guys know where to find us. We're on Discord. You can find it in our Twitter bio or the podcast description. That's really all we care about. I'm being more active in there now. I'm excited to see other people responding in kind.
I've posted some messages.
Yeah, we've been talking about 4K Blu-rays and books and stuff. So
we're getting there after 100.
Yeah, after a while. After 2 years of content.
Oh, and if we ever do game together, Jay can join us for that too. Because he's got his
Yeah, dude.
Definitely.
I mean,
we could all do the we all could do the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game after all these years.
Oh yeah, that's actually a great idea. Also, Lethal Company.
That yes, as well. For sure.
Both of those games I'd love to play with you boys.
But yes.
Be a good time.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming, here, Jay.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
And we will see you soon on Genre Haze, coming February 9th.